It was September 1983 in Bellevue, Nebraska, when a 13-year-old boy went missing. Days later, his body was found in a ditch, mutilated with bite marks all over his body and evidence of sexual assault. Local law enforcement in Bellevue asked the FBI for assistance due to how different this case was from the ones they were used to. Due to none of the known sex offenders in the area fitting the criminal profile developed by the FBI, no immediate arrest was made. 3 months later, another young boy in Nebraska went missing and was murdered, also with bite marks on his body. 2 months after the second murder, a woman reported a man loitering near a local daycare. When she confronted him, he pushed her and fled the scene in his car. The woman managed to get his license plate number. The man's name was John Jobert, a 19-year-old stationed at a local Air Force base. Jobert fit the profile the FBI made, and he was arrested and confessed to the two murders. Not that long after the arrest, FBI Agent Ressler was teaching a training course. Two detectives from Portland, Maine attended. After hearing about the Nebraska case file, they immediately notified Ressler that the murder sounds similar to the unsolved killing of an 11-year-old boy from Portland. It turned out that Jobert had fled Portland. He was eventually convicted of all three murders, the one in Maine and the two in Nebraska. Jobert died by execution at the age of 33. Let us think about this case for a second. In this situation, the FBI's profile narrowed down the suspect field in order to solve two murders within a short amount of time. It also helped resolve an open murder case that happened across the country. Do you think the police could have cracked the case without the profile? Now that I got you thinking, it is time to answer the original question of this episode. What is behavioral analysis? Behavioral analysis is a natural science that seeks to understand the behavior of individuals. That is, behavior analysts study how biological, pharmacological, and experiential factors influence the behavior of humans and non-human animals. This field, applied in criminology, is commonly referred to as criminal profiling. The criminal profiling process is defined by the FBI as a technique used to identify the perpetrator of a violent crime by identifying the personality and behavioral characteristics of the offender based upon analysis of the crime committed. Criminal profiling originated in the 1970s when the FBI began developing a system of criminal profiling based on the interviews with 36 of the most notorious violent imprisoned criminals. They came up with a 6-stage process for developing a profile by putting together telltale signs of a killer's signature, the particular crime scene behaviors they believed betray the offender's unique personality. For example, if we refer back to John Jobert, one part of his signature was leaving bite marks on his victims. In order to narrow down suspect pools, criminal profilers study evidence and form hypotheses regarding the offender's age, motive, personal lifestyle, location, etc. Most criminal profilers also have a special expertise in another specific field, such as computer science, psychiatry, or linguistics. Criminal profilers can look at the crime scene and make hypotheses about how much they planned, whether it was a crime of opportunity or a targeted attack, or how sophisticated the offender was about leaving forensic evidence, or if injuries left on the victim show evidence of sexual sadism, all of which are conclusions that can help form a bigger picture of who the offender is, which allows law enforcement to catch them. In these next few episodes, I will focus on the criminology application of behavioral analysis. In episode 2, we will talk about the importance of a crime scene in building a psychological profile. Then, in episode 3, we will talk about how key indicators of lying and deception can be detected and what they mean. In episode 4, we will talk about how victimology can play a key role in understanding the offender. And lastly, in episode 5, we will talk about the key behaviors that occur before and after committing a crime, and how this allows law enforcement to predict the location of the offender. Thank you for listening to the 4-1 Forensics Fail podcast. For episode transcripts and resources, visit our Notion page, which can be found in the podcast description box of whatever platform you are listening on. Signing off.